Welcome to the Innovation Drivers Podcast, where Canada's top technology leaders discuss ideas, successes, and challenges that are creating a better future. Brought to you by the CIO Association of Canada, in partnership with the Business Leadership Podcast Series.
Hey there. Thank you for joining us on the Innovation Drivers Podcast. I am Edwin.
And I'm Hamza.
Yeah, we are so happy for you to join us today. Hamza, it's been a while. How are you doing?
It has. I'm doing okay, working through this COVID world that we live in.
Yeah, I mean, as we're recording this, just for a nice historic reasoning, I think we're in day four of the second lockdown here in Toronto, yeah. Where I'm sitting in this corner of the Canadian world. Just really buckling in.
Yeah.
But I guess the second time around, Hamza, I don't know about you, but the second time around, I'm not feeling as, I don't want to overuse new normal, but it's like, I'm not surprised anymore, right?
Well, I think we're all kind of used to that new normal, right? Which is working at home and using tools and technologies and video and all those things. And you kind of know what to expect. As with most things in life, you go through it once, you know, you're smarter the next time, but we do cross our fingers and hope that the vaccine gets here soon and we get to start some semblance of what life used to be.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely, this will be a chapter that we'll all be talking about for probably the rest of our lives, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, science and technology for, like most industries, science and technology are at the forefront of bringing a vaccine for the virus. And then science and technology will also be at the forefront of reframing our world. So exciting times from that perspective to at least, see some glimmer of hope and how to move things forward.
Yeah, 100%. But Hamza, I'm super excited to share our conversation today for many reasons. Our guest is an amazing business leader, entrepreneurial executive. Her name is Victoria Lennox. And one person I'm happy to call my friend as well. She basically has been a leader in advancing Canadian entrepreneurship, connecting Canada's innovation ecosystem to the world. She's the founder of Startup Canada, Innovators and Entrepreneurs Foundation, the Lennox Group. And basically, when she's not busy, she's pursuing her doctorate at the University of Oxford in AI ethics and governance. So it was a great conversation.
Yeah, Victoria's got a wide range of thoughts and expertise and opinions on technology in Canada and the world and, doing so many great things in her past, her role at Startup Canada. And then now she's moved into the Lennox Group, which she'll talk about. Some really interesting insights from Victoria. And we had a wide range of topics from covering the importance of connection, breaking silos, reaching diverse communities to drive innovation, and also advice to CIOs on all of that, on the power of connection, power of diversity and thought and talent, and what all of that means in her own words.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited to really share this episode. So with that, let's get to our conversation. Welcome to the Innovation Drivers Podcast, Victoria.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, Hamza and I have been very excited to have you. It's actually a real pleasure for me to have you join. Knowing our long relationship from working at Startup Canada and helping you build that ecosystem. But this is really exciting given that, we're not only going to talk about entrepreneurship here, but mostly innovation in Canada and how to prove it forward. I guess just jumping right in, Victoria, and then I'll let Hamza chime in as well. But given your experience building organizations, national organizations, not only in Canada, but also in the UK, I'd love to get your thoughts when it comes to what you see as Canada's strengths when it comes to innovation.
Oh, well, it's a great question, Edwin. I think, especially at this time, I think the way that we think of our strengths might change now that we're into our COVID days and we're trying to innovate our way out of this global pandemic. But certainly we're seeing that it's not just our people that are our strength. Certainly our people are our strength, our academic institutions, our research capacity, our innovation. But it really is our institutional strength as well. So the longstanding good governed institutions that are keeping our economy afloat and that are keeping our democracy going. And as we kind of continue into this global pandemic, I think our institutional strength will continue to shine on a greater scale. And I think it could be something that can be much more of an export. So I think that's great. And you know, in terms of our strength, the coming together of our people and our innovators with our institutions, I think is really going to set us apart.
So Victoria, in terms of flipping that question, maybe onto, you know, onto the other side of what would be holding us back and what are some of our recommendations on what we can do to go faster, especially in a post-COVID world with all of the new challenges that poses to so many businesses and industry verticals. What would be some of your recommendations of what we can do in Canada to, you know, show our skills and great entrepreneurs and businesses that can actually help with that?
Well, I'm sure you have a lot to say on that too, but we know that innovation requires connectivity and the coming together of various perspectives to innovate, to come up with ideas that we couldn't otherwise. The same thing when it comes to the challenges that we're facing, we need to do a much better job of, just as our institutions are a strength, of breaking down our institutions and making more porous institutions where we have a greater flow of information, people, resources, things, ideas, so that we can innovate faster. It's all about scale. It's all about speed. And it's the connectivity of not just our ecosystem, but how we take policies, how we serve citizens. We need to break it all down and do it all better through connectivity. So for instance, just really quickly, we have superclusters, right? So across Canada, we've taken an economic development strategy of having these superclusters. But the superclusters themselves are rather siloed. If we look at the deployment of PPE, contact tracing apps, the whole infrastructure is all very siloed. So if we can really integrate and harness, and I'm thinking all the way from our various superclusters to our regional innovation centers to the work that NACO is doing to how our CIOs are thinking about the future, it really is about connectivity, integration, and really looking at integration and those connectivities as the way forward to essentially govern and to create a much more competitive Canada that for the world. So I know that's pretty like high level and out there, but I think that's what's holding us back is how siloed we are. And we see that manifest regionally. We see that manifest in so many different ways.
When we talk about, I guess, connections and integrations, and I know it's really coming from the super high level, and we talk about super clusters and the regional innovation centers. Like, I think the reason, and this is just my own opinion and from where I sit in my little corner of the world in Canada, but like, who would initiate these, I guess, these connections, right? I mean, we had Minister Baines on here to talk about the superclusters and how amazing it is, but like, where does that responsibility sit on? Which leadership needs to step up if they are silos and really move this forward, right, as a country? And would it come from private or would it come from public? Like, it's an interesting conversation and what I talk about all the time with other business leaders.
Yeah, well, I'm sure different sectors would say it should come from us, right? I mean, the government would say it should come from us, you know, like various organizations would say, you know, we're the leaders in this domain. I mean, my call to action, I build grassroots organizations that last, and that only comes through everybody having that as part of their culture of step up and connect. And in order for us to compete, in order for us to be bigger than we are because we're tiny, it really is about that connecting and integration and stepping up everybody. So I'll give you an example. So Superclusters Initiative, top down, engaged organizations. Now the superclusters are learning from one another. They're learning from themselves. They're evolving. They're becoming more sophisticated. But the ecosystem itself is doing the same thing. So even in the accelerators and incubators, it's not necessarily the CEOs of the organizations that are doing a great job of collaborating. They could do a better job, but they're not doing a great job. It's actually the administrators in some of the early stage career, you know, program managers that are working with the early stage startups that are leveraging Slack and technologies to communicate in real time and support their entrepreneurs. So I think leveraging and enabling technologies, all of us can be super connectors, and all of us should be just constantly connecting, and that's part of our role. So I think all leaders in the ecosystem, from policymakers and public administrators, we just gotta get rid of those silos and ensure that, you know, we're protecting the privacy and confidentiality of our organizations, but we're really in it to win it in terms of mission. So we kind of need like a rallying call as a nation of what are we trying to do? We're trying to innovate our way out of COVID, for instance. It could be one of our calls, rallying calls, and then mobilize the crap out of that. Okay, so that's our indigenous communities. That's our CIO networks. That's our angel investors. And we kind of all move together with that type of leadership. But that comes top up, bottom down. Just really quickly, if you look at the contact tracing efforts in Canada, it started all with a little group of volunteers out of Shopify, you know? And so, and then that really important initiative migrated itself into the digital service. So, you know, it can come from anywhere. And if our strength is our people and our institutions, and all we need to do is connect better, then it should really come from everywhere. And leaders today need to empower and enable that amongst their teams.
Yeah, I love the example with the contact tracing apps with Shopify. And that's also an example of, you know, the coming together of ideas, initiatives, trying to help, but also from the sounds of it. I've never looked into the use case or that specifically myself, but it also shows the leadership of having that open ear and to provide that infrastructure and support from this massive company as well to help not only this small group bring a project together, but to hold the whole country as well. I mean, it's an amazing thing as well. One thing I was thinking of as well is as we were talking about connections and integrations, Victoria, I know with some of the work that you've been doing in the past, and I think still you're still involved with it in terms of digital economy. And I know this is a lot of work with Hamza as well. I'm wondering when it comes to the widening gap of the digital economy, you know, especially when we're talking about the vulnerable communities, the populations, how is that a challenge in Canada in terms of, or maybe it's an opportunity in terms of rising up as well as an innovative country?
Yeah, well, I mean, Canada has it all, right? We have first world infrastructure, and we have third world developing world conditions, global south conditions in Canada. I mean, we look at our indigenous communities and rural communities that have zero access to potable drinkable water. And then imagine then the infrastructure on top of that to be able to connect, and connecting we know equals the playing field and creates economic opportunities. So you mentioned Minister Baines is on your podcast, which is amazing. And just a week and a half ago or so, there was the rollout and the announcement of support to try to get kind of that last mile, get broadband access across the country. And so these types of initiatives are so important. But the inequalities are real. So I'll give you an example. So if we look at, again, bringing it back to today and the challenge that we're facing as a nation, we need to get out of this pandemic now. We need to get the economy restarted. But one of our tools in that, again, going back to it, is the contact tracing app. And if you look at the contact tracing app, it's only available on smartphones. If you don't have a smartphone, then you're not connected, it's not going to be useful to you. It's only available for some of the most recent Android phones and iOS phones. So if you have an older iPhone, for instance, you can't use it. So how are we learning? How are we actually creating accessible digital infrastructure? And here we can learn from the Global South. So how are we using, you know, SMS? How are we using token technology that we're seeing in Singapore, for instance? How are we innovating together to be more inclusive? And that all comes down to getting people who are marginalized, who are not part of kind of the digital economy, to be part of figuring out how to solve it. So, you know, and this is just one example that we're seeing of, you know, just people being marginalized by not being included in the design of technologies that are meant to safeguard public health and safety. So, you know, we have a lot to gain by getting every Canadian, every newcomer, everyone who lives and has their footing in our country connected. And so it needs to be an absolute priority, especially the longer this pandemic continues, so that we can participate in the digital economy together.
I want to, Victoria, double down on your comments there, because I absolutely agree with, you know, a lot of the comments you made, specifically on the strength of our country and the diversity that we have in cultures and people and where people come from, skill and talent that spans both, you know, gender diversity and where you come from as well. And that collection, I think, when tapped in the right way to solve innovative, to solve problems that require innovation, I think that's where the best of Canada shows up. And I think we do it really well. And I think there's a lot of stories, some of which I think we'll tell through this. Through this podcast, and that's actually one of the goals, to tell these great innovation stories. But to further on your comments of connection right up front, I think also the secondary connection points need to not only be with, you know, decision makers to decision makers, it needs to be decision makers with different funnels of talent. So depending on how companies hire, or, you know, where they look for that next role, to sort of start to go away from some of the traditional places. Recruiting firms or general job postings, and start to target some of these communities that you speak of. Otherwise, we'll never break that barrier. And we all know that the talent is there, or the talent is there to be developed, right? That wants to be developed. And I think it's such an important point that you made.
Yeah. So, I mean, I wonder if either of you, and I mean, this is so interesting because we are, you know, looking at it as understanding the holes in the infrastructure. And I'm wondering what we as business leaders, technology leaders, you know, what can we do to really push these gaps that we are, I guess, surfacing right now? And maybe it's not new for those who are listening today, right? Maybe people are aware of these situations, but, you know, one of our goals is to really, you know, have these call to actions, right? Have these conversations. And how could we enable our people, our organizations, everyone who works with us to really look at these things, not only in our job, right? Because we're talking about problems that are national wide, right? How could we really enable it? Are there, I guess, tips or thoughts of how we could really put this into our own workflow, into our own ethos of our culture? Because, you know, people who are listening to this are maybe smaller organizations all the way up to multinational companies, right? So it's really starting. And like you said, Victoria, like grassroots, how do you, you know, start drumming that beat, right? I'd love to get some of both of your thoughts and how we could change it inside to make a bigger impact as well.
I mean, I can start, I think. And it's so complex, right? Like there's so many things we can do as leaders. And this is just going to get super leadershipy now. But I think it's about leading by example and then thinking about the impact we want to make as leaders and as individuals and the overall impact of our organization. Canada is one of the countries that signs up to SDGs, UN SDGs. And my belief is every single company in Canada should be advancing at least one of those SDGs, either directly or indirectly through CSR activities, you know, and that's how we pull together. And when I think about companies in Canada, just coming, my background is Startup Canada, you know, I think super micro, and I want those micros to scale into global juggernauts. Like, but the thing is, what's really going to support that is if it's grounded in values around impact that everyone in the company can rally around, so that you create space for that impact that's aligned. And then in addition to that, you create space for your individual team members to take what's unique about them and the impact they're looking to lead on the world, whether related or unrelated, and giving them the space and scope to actually, you know, make that move, make that difference. And so like space is so important, but the alignment to actually making a difference beyond the bottom line. Although the bottom line is very important for our economy, for taxes, for our quality of life and prosperity, it's almost more important to be impact driven, and that will fuel the growth of the company. So the leaders that I've seen succeed most in Canada and globally are those that really have strong values of the impact they want to make.
And share with us, Victoria, some of the Canadian innovative business leaders that you've seen that are having that sort of impact and are taking some of what you've just said as part of their work, not only in Canada but to the rest of the world. Who are some of those people?
Yeah, well, isn't it lucky that we get to spend so much time like with these people, like in the work we do? It's really inspiring. I think, like, if I look at SSI Microsystems, it's a really cool company based here in Ottawa, and they are singularly responsible for extending the internet through ships up through the Atlantic and up through the Arctic to Northwest Territories and some of our most remote regions. So I'm thinking of, like, you know, we hear a lot about Shopify. You know, I love Wattpad. It really empowers. Like, I don't think we appreciate Wattpad as much in Canada as we should. Like, anyways, we can have a whole conversation about Wattpad and how it's giving the Global South and individuals in marginalized groups across the world a voice. We don't even talk about that in Canada. We talk about their Netflix series. But, you know, it's companies like that that's actually creating the connectivity that I'd love to illuminate. Or Keith McIntosh out in New Brunswick, who has a great company that's essentially connecting Indigenous youth across Canada to the digital economy by way of digital training and actually hiring them to do data entry and then more sophisticated coding work over time. It's a social enterprise that's scaling like crazy with our fastest growing population. So, you know, these are the types of innovators that I think are making a difference. And then I'm also seeing a huge shift in the social impact community, particularly among women, and COVID's really accelerated this, where, you know, women have a propensity to start a different type of company than men. They might start more like beauty and healthcare and wellness and product solutions. And they're getting way more digital. They're starting to think very differently about how they're participating in the digital economy and how they can serve the same goal through maybe not a product, but rather a service. And so, yeah, there's been so much changes, and I think COVID has forced us all to innovate and think differently. But yeah, to illuminate those stories of people who are creating opportunities for others through giving them access to new skills, resources, and infrastructure to be part of the economy and part of their own solutions to independence.
I love your examples, Victoria, and Wattpad is such an amazing story, and you're right. Like, the everyday Canadian probably has never heard of Wattpad, which is really interesting, right? And these are, you know, when Hamza and I was thinking about this show, is like, how do we really highlight some of these Canadian tech leaders who people don't know of, right? So I'm really glad that you brought them up. I had reached out to Alan to be on this podcast, but he's like, since they've been blasting off into the stratosphere creating movies, it's definitely hard to get a hold of him. So Alan, we're definitely trying to get a hold of you.
Well, just a quick note on that, Edwin, like for those who don't know, who are tuning in, so across the world, data can be very expensive or not accessible. And in many countries, Facebook has a free program whereby they provide 10 websites for free for all of the citizens to use. I mean, there's huge ethical implications to that. We'll put those to the side. But one of the 10 websites that is given for free to a bunch of South African and South American countries is Wattpad. And the reason that the governments and Facebook have chosen Wattpad is because it's a vehicle to foster culture, to share stories, and to empower people to create their country. And so that's the power of the platform that Alan and his team have built. And here we see Netflix series, but what the rest of the world sees is a vehicle to have a voice. And that's incredible.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. I mean, this is I'm loving this conversation and it's a loaded one. I mean, I'm gonna personally have to listen to it over because we went through different stages of Canada, right? This is exactly. I mean, my mind is sort of like loaded up right now. And for those who are listening, you know, I mean, we'd love to hear, you know, your thoughts and questions when you do listen, and maybe some of the stories that we may not know of, right? I mean, this is just a journey. Like, there's so many amazing Canadian tech leaders out there. I wanted to ask you, Victoria, as we're closing up, but I'm always fascinated as a friend, as a colleague, about the different things that you're getting into and some of the studies that you're working on. But I'm wondering if there's any new projects that you're getting into as we're heading out of 2020, the beginning of an amazing decade, let's just say. you know, if you have any new project that you'd love to share with us today, how we could help or how we could put an ear towards some of the things that you're doing.
Oh, that's great. Well, I think as leaders, we're constantly evolving. And the thing about being a serial social entrepreneur is, you know, and so many can relate, is I'm a starter. And then once things are sustainable, then I'm really quick for succession. And so what I'm working on right now is I have Lennox Innovations, which I'm doing lots of consulting for organizations, primarily in Ottawa, around government relations and those types of things. But the project I'm most excited about these days is the Hope Fund. And the Hope Fund is a charitable legacy piece that I've been wanting to get going for a while. And it was born out of a state visit. I joined Governor General David Johnston in Jordan in Israel. We visited the Za'atari refugee camp where Syrian refugees were housed. And I really saw that entrepreneurship could be a vehicle to generate hope in the region. And the reason why the refugee camp really inspired me was I really saw immediately that this was not a short-term home for these amazing, incredible people. It was actually going to be their long-term home and maybe their forever home. And so for young people who are born into that environment, you know, how do we create an economy? How do we create hope? How do we not just allow Jordanians to feel like refugees were a drain on their economy, but rather actually contributing new products, new services, generating economic growth, and essentially creating a displaced settlement kind of economy. And we're going to need more of those, you know, as time goes and as global conflicts pursue and as the environment changes where we can live in the world and where we can't and where there's political issues. So these new settlements are going to become very important economic actors in the future. So I'm working with UNHCR on the Hope Fund to essentially raise funding for scholarships and seed funds for entrepreneurs living in conflict zones who are needed to to rise up, to become those economic leaders, to be the Shopify, to be the Wattpad for their new home. And so anyone who wants to learn more, definitely reach out to me on Twitter or anywhere else that you can find me, Victoria Lennox, if you want to lend a hand. But to me, that's the coolest thing I'm working on these days, is just figuring out how, you know, that what we see is temporary is not temporary. And in fact, we can make it work to make the world better.
That's amazing. Thank you for sharing. And that's really inspirational. Definitely let Hamza and I know as you launch that or when there's more information, because we'll definitely update the podcast, the episode page as well, to ensure that when people do listen to this, whether it's, you know, when it airs or a year from now, we have all that updated information as well. Victoria, can you, before we end, I'd love to just get any final thoughts, ideas, inspirations, or call to actions for the tech leaders that are listening today.
Oh, well, you know, first off, thanks so much for the platform. I think it's so important to have these types of conversations, and I'm really honored to just be part of the conversation. My call to action is like really kind of self-serving. It's, you know, CIOs in Canada, I mean, it's a group that where we need to see greater diversity. So where there's women around you, raise them up, promote them, champion them, mentor them. And similarly, whenever there's an opportunity and you see promise in anybody around you, just raise them up, because we need more of it. And we need to connect those dots. And I would say, regardless of kind of the sector you're in as a CIO and as a leader, really, it's time that we really broaden our perspectives and take the time to upskill and to learn and to connect more. So see what conversations you're not currently part of and how you can be part of new groups and new conversations and a more diverse set of ideas. So, yeah. So just a call to action to connect more and to support those around you, especially those that don't look like you and who aren't from where you're from.
I love that. Victoria, it's been an absolute pleasure. Sorry, Hamza. Did you have a last question there?
No, I was sharing your sentiment of some great closing comments by Victoria.
That's amazing. Yeah, if you could just let us know where you could find information. I know you just mentioned Twitter. If there's anywhere else that you LinkedIn.
I'm everywhere. I'm everywhere. So on Twitter, I'm at VLennox, and then we can go from there or just find me on LinkedIn. Super easy.
Awesome. Victoria, it's been an absolute pleasure for us. We do appreciate you joining us on the Innovation Drivers podcast.
Thank you, Victoria.
My pleasure. Thank you. Stay safe, everybody.
And that's it, folks. Thank you again for joining us on another episode of the Innovation Drivers podcast with Victoria Lennox.
Great conversation. As mentioned at the beginning, a wide range of topics, but you know, it just shows innovation isn't easy. There's lots of things that you need to think about. But when you click all of the right boxes to do it, it's truly amazing. And also the opportunity our country continues to play on the global stage.
And the one thing I wanted to share, Hamza, is when she mentioned it could come from everywhere, right? And us as business leaders, we really got to not only listen, empower our teams, people around us, our children, everyone. And I think I think that's an important thing for myself as well, right? So I was really happy for this conversation. So for more information about Victoria Lennox, the work she's doing, and we'll definitely update it as we mentioned, please do check out the show notes.
And for more information on the CIO Association of Canada and how to join, please visit www.ciocan.ca.
Please subscribe, rate, and comment on your favorite podcast player. Hamza, it's always a pleasure connecting, speaking with you, and having these amazing conversations. So thank you for your time, and I do look forward to the next one.
Yeah, thank you, Edwin, and everybody out there. We want you to take this information and go do stuff with it. So please go get your day. Please innovate and contribute to the innovation that's happening across our amazing country. Thank you.